grant private duty for clients. That number again is 320-7600.
And Kathy Dawes now, along with Captain Carly Cooper, who is an occupational therapist and chief of the Warrior and Family Recovery Center, formerly known as the Traumatic Brain Injury Clinic at Irwin Army Community Hospital. We also have Susan Cullen, who is a speech-language pathologist with the same clinic at Irwin Army and one of Sergeant Wise's many providers. Staff Sergeant Joshua Wise, by the way, was not able to be with us at the last minute, and we're sorry to hear that. I know he was going to share his own personal story with four documented concussions and kind of what it's done to his life. And this is Brain Injury Awareness Month, which is why we've brought these folks in and hope to learn a bit more from them. But we appreciate both of you being here today, and I know all kinds of things to talk about and bring a little more awareness. I think we'll start with Captain Cooper, if that's all right. And I know, Captain Cooper, if you can give us some background about Brain Injury Awareness Month.
Sure, ma'am. Thank you so much for having us. We are honored to be here to share our awareness for Brain Injury Awareness Month. So the Brain Injury Association of America and the Department of Defense recognize March as Brain Injury Awareness Month. The purposes of this month's activities are to just generally increase awareness of traumatic brain injury, or TBI as it's mostly referred to, particularly mild TBI, as well as to educate and provide resources related to traumatic brain injury to service members, veterans, their family members, and the community at large.
And I think, you know, as a nation, we're starting to understand a bit more the importance of brain injury, how much it can affect a person. I know even when it comes to football players, you know, we hear about concussions,
sure,
and those,
yes,
kind of things. But obviously our soldiers also, definitely apropos. I know mild traumatic brain injury or concussion. Now, what are we talking about here?
So a traumatic brain injury, or TBI, is actually defined as a blow or a jolt to the head. So it doesn't always mean that it has to be a direct blow to the head. The Department of Defense recognizes like being in 50 meters of a blast, or just being in a rollover, can cause a traumatic brain injury. Anything that disrupts the normal function of the brain, causing a change in mental status or loss of consciousness. This may be very brief or last for an extended period of time, depending on the severity. It's important to note that you do not have to have suffered a loss of consciousness to meet the criteria of having suffered a traumatic brain injury. Now, mild traumatic brain injury, or concussion, is much more common in military and civilian settings than are the moderate and the severe brain injuries. Actually, an estimated 80% of or more of all traumatic brain injuries could be classified as concussion, which is why the majority of our awareness efforts this month for Brain Injury Awareness Month focus on concussion awareness and the treatment options.
And to make things even more complicated, it really is an imperfect science. I mean, let's face it. And I think it's probably difficult sometimes to really know what's going on in that head of ours.
Yes, absolutely, ma'am.
And now, to determine, how can you differentiate between a closed concussion or TBI? Or, I mean, what are some of the things you look for?
So the diagnosis of a traumatic brain injury begins when you first talk to your healthcare provider about the injury. You'll be expected to share details such as how the injury happened. Was it a closed head injury, meaning there's not a penetrating injury or something like that? What area of the head or the body was actually struck, and with what degree of force? Whether the person actually lost consciousness, whether they seemed dazed or had other symptoms, and if so, for how long? Did it last seconds? Did it last minutes or hours? Any changes, even small changes in behavior, awareness, speech, coordination, orientation. Most of the time, your traumatic brain injury, or especially concussions, can be diagnosed based on the signs that a provider observes, or even the signs that family members or somebody close to that person observes and then can relay that to the provider. Now, obviously, if it's a more severe penetrating head injury, that's usually more obvious. The more severe brain injuries will require further imaging, such as MRIs or CT scans.
Very good. I think we'll move on to Susan now and get a few comments from her. And I guess really the big picture of why it's so important to be aware of brain injuries or concussions this month, Susan, if you don't mind sharing with us.
Sure, my pleasure. It's important to recognize that brain injuries, or concussions as they're typically referred to, are quite common in both the civilian and military population, so they're a public health problem worldwide. They don't just necessarily happen in the garrison setting, like at Fort Riley or your home base, but they can happen anywhere, any day, to anybody. They're just as likely to occur at home, if not more than likely, than while deployed, just to give an idea of what we're talking about. The CDC estimates approximately 2 million concussions occur each year, with actually up to 4 million. These numbers are estimates and difficult to determine just due to underreporting, which is an issue. Even these numbers, roughly 2 million, say, a year, is 8 times greater than the number of breast cancer diagnoses each year. Another estimated 90% of these concussions are mild in nature, which means that they're likely to go unreported, and numbers may be as high as 10 million cases per year, since people don't always seek treatment. This is why we're here today and talking about it, to bring attention to concussions and the treatment options that are available, which we will continue to discuss later in the treatment. You can experience a concussion anywhere, while at work, at home, even while driving to work. So for example, in a car accident, while at work, and whether that's in the field for you or during a training exercise or a maneuver, or while performing typical maintenance activities, so climbing a ladder, playing on the playground with your kids, playing sports, football, as you mentioned earlier, for example, has gotten a lot of attention recently. Falls, motor vehicle accidents, so your car accident, for example, are leading causes of concussions among adults. And these are things that are preventable. This also draws light to the fact that they occur across age groups. So children are susceptible, young adults, so as your service members, which Captain Cooper will talk about later, in addition to the elderly. Everyone is at risk and no one is immune.
And maybe some of the common signs and symptoms, and I know that Captain Cooper dealt with a little bit of what we look for when we diagnose, but maybe more specifically what even a parent can look for or a spouse.
Sure. So people may experience changes across the spectrum. So this may include changes in sleep, nausea, fatigue, balance and dizziness problems, affecting when you're standing, walking, getting up. So for example, Sergeant Wise, during his initial encounter with us, spoke about how he had problems standing up from getting on the ground when playing with his children. So he would get dizzy, seeing stars, blacking out. He had difficulty concentrating on tasks and presented with slowed thinking. It took him longer to think about something or concentrate on a task. Memory problems are also very common, as well as mood and personality changes are affected. Vision disturbances are also common. Feelings of blacking out or seeing stars at the time of the concussion. These are still just mentioning 10 to 15 of the symptoms. A recent study listed up to 100 of symptoms. So if you're seeing or experiencing one or two of these symptoms after having a blow or jolt to the head, it's definitely worthwhile to get them checked out. Pay a visit to your doctor.
And now that you mentioned Staff Sergeant Wise, maybe we should explain a bit more about him. I know he wasn't able to be with us today, but he's been on multiple deployments since he joined the Army in 01. He suffered 4 documented concussions, and during his last deployment to Afghanistan in 2016, he experienced a blast that nearly killed him. He has undergone intensive treatment and rehabilitation to heal from the concussion, and I'm so sorry he wasn't able to make it, but emergencies happen. I understand totally. But what a story, and I know that the two of you work a lot with him, too. And Captain Cooper, maybe this kind of makes us really realize, too, why brain injury awareness is so much of an issue for our military service members.
Yes, Kathy. Well, it is an issue for the service members because young men between the ages of 18 to 24 have been the ones to have been shown to be at greatest risk for concussions. Many activities which are routine to the military, every mission we do, all ranges, everything that we do on a daily basis are physically demanding and potentially dangerous. Also, as both of you have mentioned, sports, for instance, are an integral part of the soldier athlete's routine activities. We do it all the time. So service members also may be the population that are actually more likely to participate in those higher risk leisure activities while they're at it, such as riding motorcycles, climbing mountains, parachuting. All of these activities increase the risk for concussion. Remember, it is important to note, like Susan had already said earlier, most concussions do occur here at home from common everyday activities that we do all the time, not necessarily always on the battlefield or always doing something that most would consider high risk. Just that young population of our service members seems to be the ones that are most at risk because of the demands of our jobs and the way we participate in our leisure activities as well.
Susan, back to you, and I guess the next question would be what should somebody do if they think they have a concussion and obviously get checked out? And this has changed a lot through the years. I remember back in the olden dinosaur days when I was younger, it used to be just to keep them awake, but that was really, other than that, you didn't know what to do. Susan, suggestions for what someone should do.
Thank you for asking that specific question, because we've been dancing around, see your doctor, but more specifically, like you said, keep them awake. That's important, right? The first step in recovery definitely begins with seeing a medical provider. Go to your doctor. A trained healthcare provider or a medical team can evaluate and treat concussion symptoms and advise on when and how to return to regular activities. Gradual resumption of activities and progressive return to activities or return to duty, in our case, is key. You certainly want to stay awake and alert, but rest is also important. And actually, the length of recovery and return to activities, whether it's work, school, or sports, following a concussion is unique for each individual. So toughing it out and thinking that you're fine and prolonging seeking that treatment, even if it's just a visit or two, may end up prolonging your recovery.
So don't tough it out. Get some help.
We prefer you don't.
Now, can a person with a concussion fully recover, out of curiosity?
Yes. That's kind of why we talk about not toughing it out. So because your brain is so responsible for so many functions, from memory, concentration, et cetera, it would be so difficult to return to work at your highest potential in light of these problems. So imagine trying to drive a car or operate machinery in this condition, and it will end up resulting in problems in other areas of your life. So back to answering your initial question, can you fully recover? An individual who experiences a concussion is expected to make a full recovery, but it's important to not resume activities too quickly or all at once after the initial concussion. The course of recovery may be directly related to the severity of the initial injury. Most brain injuries, as we've talked about, are concussions. So by definition, they're mild in nature. One of the most important roles of a healthcare provider, in fact, is to educate the person and his or her family about the natural course of recovery following a concussion and to help them manage their expectation, with the message being that they will fully recover with support and interventions. Support from family members, work, and your healthcare team is critical to recovery, in addition to your own motivation, of course, throughout the recovery process. I wish Sergeant Wise were here to talk about his recovery, because he's definitely one of the best examples we've had recently of a soldier coming forward, receiving treatment, and making excellent gains. Let's talk about the recovery process if we have an extra minute. Okay. So treatment plans here at Fort Riley are individualized in order to promote optimal recovery. So each soldier receives a different model of care depending on his or her needs. Sergeant Wise, for example, saw 10 different providers. Not every soldier will see those 10 providers. That was just his journey and experience here. We do offer a variety of services at the TBI clinic here at Fort Riley to include rehabilitation for memory and language therapy, therapy to improve attention to tasks and concentration building exercises, which is what I specialize in, vestibular therapy to improve balance, vision therapy, and a variety of pain management techniques, including battlefield acupuncture, biofeedback, and cranioelectrotherapy stimulation, to reduce stress and improve sleep patterns, which Captain Cooper will discuss further.
And I guess if you would like to share that with us too, that would be great, Captain Cooper. And then also resources that are available at Fort Riley as we get fairly close to wrapping things up here today.
Sure, of course, ma'am. Some of the things as I'm the occupational therapist at the TBI Center. Some of the things I focus on are pain management, stress management, biofeedback, which is biofeedback and battlefield acupuncture, which are actually some new upcoming popular alternative medicines that were being used that are really generated to focus on pain management and stress management kind of things. The team over at my Warrior and Family Recovery Center is really, really a great multidisciplinary dynamic team that has a lot of special individual focuses. So we have a psychiatrist over there. We have the PA, who's the primary care that you'll first see coming through the clinic, the nurse case manager. We have the speech-language pathologist, Ms. Cullen, me for occupational therapy, and a couple of other people. We have a physical therapist that is designated to helping out with the vestibular balance issues that people could have. And we have a neuropsychologist over there that can do a great battery of cognitive testing, and she makes a lot of recommendations and offers psychological support as well. Some other resources that we have or that are great to know about is the Defense and Veterans Brain Injury Center and the Brain Injury Awareness Association. Both provide great online references for those recovering from traumatic brain injury, as well as a host of resources for family members, caregivers, and the community at large. For instance, they have pamphlets and manuals posted on their website. Like an example is this, A Parent's Guide to Returning Your Child to School After a Concussion. Or they have a Traumatic Brain Injury, a Guide for Caregivers or of Service Members and Veterans. So a lot of great resources that both of those places have. We are fortunate at Fort Riley that the command team over there has really made concussion care a high priority. So the overarching point we wanted to make here today is that we have the resources available and the care to help. So there shouldn't be any problem getting the care that you need as quickly as possible after a concussion in order to enhance the recovery, improve outcomes, and really keep ahead for the future.
Well, thanks to both of you. Some great information today. Anything else just real briefly, Susan, or I mean, anything else we're wanting to add, or will that do it?
Well, thank you so much for having us for Brain Injury Awareness Month here.
Appreciate both of you being here, and it definitely sounds like Staff Sergeant Joshua Wise has some great folks that he's working with there at Irwin Army Community Hospital, Fort Riley. Appreciate Captain Carly Cooper coming by, occupational therapist, and also speech-language pathologist Susan Cullen. We'll take a break. Manhattan Assistant Director of Community Development Chad Bunger will be joining us to talk about the Unified Development Ordinance Project. And you're listening to In Focus on News Radio, KMAN.